And if you understand that, if you understand that, then you can say, well, I'm doing what God wants me to do. No, I might not be submitting to everything that he's asking me to do, but I'm doing what God wants me to do. And I'm submitting, as far as I understand, with God. Because first of all, this man is not under the headship of God. He's not allowing God to lead him. And so we need to have, I believe Peter is teaching us that we need to have wisdom as we operate.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Family, the Family Under Attack, from our series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Family, the Family Under Attack.
He says to cherish. Peter put it like this. Treat the wife as the weaker vessel. Well, not weaker emotionally, not weaker socially, not weaker any other way. But what he's saying here, the word actually is the more fragile, that the more delicate, that the husband should treat his wife as a delicate vessel, as a fine piece of china that he takes care of. And that he's gonna make sure that there's nothing that's gonna allow her to get broken. You know, when you have that fine piece of china, you know, you do everything that you can to protect that china. You just don't throw the china out there, you just don't go around holding the china in one hand or on your fingertip, but you secure that china. You nourish and you cherish that china. And that's what he said that a husband is supposed to do with his wife. And then if you'll put it up on the screen, Colossians 3:19, there should be love here without any bitterness. There should be love here without any bitterness. You got that? Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And there's a whole lot of husbands that are bitter against their wives. You know, if you look at the fact that your wife has dropped her last name to take yours, then you ought to do whatever you can to, no matter what this woman has done, that he says here, don't be bitter. Don't be bitter against your wife. And there's a whole lot of husbands that are just bitter. They're bitter that they have to bring their paycheck home. They're bitter that their wife has done something that they didn't like. And they're bitter. That's not the biblical husband. That's not biblical love. That you have to learn how to forgive. You have to learn how to let go. You got to get rid of that bitterness, and you got to let love preempt any negativity that's in your spirit. You got to let it go. And so here are the responsibilities of the husbands and wives. And I know I'm moving. And again, I'm going to say this. Man, there's plenty of books out there. You know, there's biblical counseling that can get more in depth in this stuff. I'm just hitting the foundation. That's all I can do this morning is hit the foundation. So if you need help, you need to go further and get the help that you need. Like I said, you go to the family bookstore, the Christian bookstore, there's a multitude of books for whatever issue. You know, if there's been infidelity, if there's a lack of trust, if there is not showing love, I mean, there's all kind of stuff that you can go Christian books now by good Christian authors. Don't get some of the stuff that's out there. Good Christian books by good Christian authors that can help you deal with some of the issues that I just got finished talking about here today. So that's the husbands and wives. Now let's move on to the parents and the children. Parents and the children. We live in a day when on one side of the coin, the parents are either abusing or neglecting the children. And on the flip side of the coin, you have the children disrespecting and being disobedient to the parents. So what does the Bible say our role as parents should be? Four things. Four things. Above and beyond that, you know, if you have been blessed and you want to do more, that's fine. But these are your four essential responsibilities as a parent. The first thing in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, that you should not provoke your children to wrath. That's number one. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Well, how do you provoke a child to wrath? Let me share with you a couple of ways that I have written here. Overprotection, pushing them beyond their boundaries, making them feel unwanted, constantly scolding them, using love as a tool for punishment or reward, favoritism, discouragement, verbal and physical abuse. I'm going to add some others. Failing to meet the basic needs of the child. These are all things that provoke a child to wrath. And so if you have a man who has delivered a child or brought a child or got a lady pregnant who brought a child into the world, and the brother does not want to have anything to do with that child, then he is provoking that. He is provoking that child to wrath. And God have mercy on his soul. To bring a child into this world and to fail to take care of that child. That's provoking a child to wrath. Got these kids growing up today, don't know who their fathers are, angry. They get to a certain age, they get upset with the mother because the mother didn't say who the father was or didn't want to tell them. Then they want to find out who the dad was. Then they find out who the dad was. Dad don't want to have anything to do with it. Now what? They're angry. Provoking a child to wrath. Let me tell you something. Any man that's here today, if you bring a child into this world, you take care of it. You take care of that child. And don't provoke them. We got too many young people that's being provoked to wrath. You see, young people. You know, I was talking to some of the administration down at the local elementary school, and she was saying that this was last year. Hopefully, it's changed this year. That they had a high rate of suspension because all these young boys were just angry, and they were suspending them left and right. And the problem is, what are the kids going to learn when they're being suspended? You know, they go home, and then they're at home, and what? Now the mom is mad because she got to take off from work, or she got to find somebody to come home and watch the little boy. So, I mean, it just spirals out of control. And so we got a lot of angry young people in the world. And I think a lot of this anger is due to the fact that something has happened in that home and has caused them to be angry. And so Paul says here, fathers and mothers, don't provoke your children to wrath. And that's why we need to pray for the families. Even if you're not in a family, you need to pray for families for this very reason right here. Secondly, it says to bring your child up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You need to have your child in church or Sunday school or something. Or you need to be having devotions regularly in your home. You need to be getting some input in your child. You know, if you later on read Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 20, where the Israelites were commanded to keep the word before their children. Now, you know, here again, I'm getting ready to get in trouble now. But I don't care. I'm already in trouble. It kills me when we have people come up here, when we have baby dedication, dedicate their children to the Lord, and then you don't see them anymore. Now, you stood before this altar, you stood before God, and you dedicated your child to the Lord. And now you haven't even taken the responsibility of making sure that your child is in the house of God, receiving instruction from the Word of God, and being built up in the most holy faith. That you haven't even, you made a vow. You stood here. Pastor Glaze said, do you promise, and in the vows when they stand here, I say, do you promise to bring your child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? And they stand right there and say it. I'm not just talking about people. I'm talking about church people. I'm not just talking about somebody that You might just pop in for the dedication. I'm talking about church folk that have not dedicated themselves to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's your responsibility. As a Christian parent, we wonder why the family is under attack. You know, somebody said in New York, they said, as tragic as what happened was that happened, as tragic as it was, I heard somebody being interviewed on the TV, and they said it's been a hidden blessing inside of it, because people have had to put down their Blackberries and Crackberries and iPads and iPhones and now start talking to one another. And start talking to one another. Is that what God? I'm not saying God did that, but I'm just saying, does God have to do something like that to get folk to begin to get that, put that spiritual input in people's lives? Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You need to teach your child some discipline. Now, I don't know how you're going to do it. And I'm not going to get into how you do it. The scripture says, gives us some verses there. So I'm not going to get into that, because I know that's a controversial subject. But I know many times that my father applied the right hand of correction to the left cheek of disobedience, and things got right. But I'm not going to say how you do it. I'm not going to say. You need to figure out how to work that thing out. But don't have a bunch of Bebe's kids. You need to bring your kids need to have some discipline. They just don't need to be running all over the place and doing everything that they want to do. That there needs to be some structure, and it's the parents' responsibility. Man, I see these parents that have no control over their kids. You know, why is that? How is it that the animals are running the farm? How does that happen? You need to have some discipline in your kid's life. That people need to be able to realize that their kids are just not out of control. Because let me tell you something. Out of control children become out of control teenagers. And that's why we have so many young people behind bars today. It's because they're out of control. You know, it's ridiculous, all these shootings that's going on throughout this city. And all of, you know why it is? Because people have not learned how to control themselves. Somebody has done something to them, and the only way that they can handle it is pulling out a gun and ripping somebody off. Would to God that we instill in young people discipline. Now, again, I'm not saying, you know, that kids got to just come and, you know, just be like little church mice, right? Just sit there. I mean, you know, man, there's nothing wrong with, you know, kids get a little fidgety and they move. You know, man, there's nothing wrong with, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, you know, let your kid lay on the ground and scream at you and holler at you and come up and kick you in the leg, you know. Man, discipline. And then, last, you should provide for your children. You should make sure that your children have everything they need. That your children shouldn't, now I didn't say what they everything they wanted. I'm saying everything that they need. Whatever your child needs, that you need to do whatever you can in your power to provide it. You need to keep a roof over their head, clothes on their back, food in their stomach. You know, I see, you know, it kills me, man. I see guys that are styling and profiling in the latest gear, and their kids don't know where their next meal is coming from. How in the world can guys that, you know, make sure that they got everything that they need, and their kids are struggling, can't even have a decent roof over their head? And so you need to provide. Your objective and your priority is not yourself. But when you bring a child into the world, your priority is raising that child, taking care of that child. That's where your focus has got to go. Whatever you got to do that. Now, again, you know, I say this, but I think that your first responsibility is with your spouse. I'm going to say that back up. You know, that's got to be right. But then after that, you got to provide for that child. Let me move on here. Children. See, we've gotten away from the structure. If we get back on this foundation, we'll be all right. Children. Somebody said that, I was reading this joke book, right? And it said that the rooster looked at the hen, and they saw some scrambled eggs, right? And the rooster looked at the hen and said, man, there goes our mixed up kids. I'm sorry. I've been saving that one for years. All right. Children should obey. I mean, that's as simple as we can make it. That children should obey your parents. Now, if your parents are telling you to go into a store and put some under your shirt without paying for it, no, you don't do that. But I would say, and I'm sure that most of us would agree in here today, that most parents have their child's best welfare at heart. And so with that in mind, children, listen to your parents. If they're telling you something, they're not telling you something to rob you of your fun and to take your joy away. You got to realize one thing, that they already been where you gone. And they know the heartache, and they know the trials and testing that's out there. And that's why God said in his word, children, obey your parents. And if you don't, you know, in the Old Testament, when a child didn't obey the parents, they would stone them to death. That they would bring that disobedient child before the whole congregation, and they would stone them to death. That's how serious they were about children obeying their parents. And so, you know, we need to, you know, realize that as young people, you know, the best thing we can do is to obey our parents. There was a young lady, she's not here anymore, she was in this congregation, and I remember she told me one time, she said that she really wanted to drive, that she really wanted to get her license and drive a car. She said, but her parents said that, you know, they didn't feel that it was the time for her to do that. And she said, you know what, Pastor Glaze? She said, I don't necessarily like that that's what they're telling me to do. But she said, but because that's my parents, you know, I'm going to listen to what they say. I was like, whoa, blew me away. Because most young people, man, they would still be railing and fighting and arguing and fussing about doing that. But she said, if that's what my parents want for me, then that's what I'm going to do. That should be the spirit that's in the heart of every young person. Yeah, you might not agree with what your parents say. You might not be on one accord with what your parents say. But you know what? I'm going to listen to what they say. Yeah, I tell people this. My dad used to make me mad. And I would cuss my dad out all the time. But he never heard me. He never heard in my mind, but you know what? I did exactly what he told me to do. Whatever my dad told me to do, I did it. And that's got to be the spirit that's within the heart of a child. And then we see that children should honor their parents. And what does that mean? That means that you should highly esteem and respect your parents. That you not only esteem them. See, and let me say this. That if you are raising a child that's not with the parent, then the tendency is to dog the other person out. Don't do that. Teach that child that no matter what that other person is doing, that's your father. That's your mother. And you need to esteem them. Don't look at their, no, their lifestyle is not right. This is not right. They're not, no, but esteem them. Honor them. And you know, you can honor somebody without feeding into their foolishness. I mean, I've heard people say, you know, Dad, look, you know, I respect you for being my father. I don't agree with all the stuff, but you're my dad. And I respect you for being my dad. And you know, and so we got to instill that in the child. Exodus 20 and verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother. And you know what it is? And your days shall be long upon this earth. And the Bible says this is the first commandment that has a promise to it. That if you want to live a long life, honor your father and mother. And see, not only honor them when you're young, but even when you get old, you still honor them. You still honor your parents. I'm almost done. Psalm 127. I just had too much in this message. I should have made this two messages. Look at verse 3. Psalm 127 and verse 3. Verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of one's youth. Happy is the man who hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies at the gate. Plain and simple, what this means here is that when we get old and we can't take care of ourselves anymore, that our children should still be honoring us. They should still be honoring us. Even if they don't live around here, they need to be honoring, checking up, finding out, making sure that everything is all right. That's what that verse is saying right there. That the parent, when they got, you know, the gate was where they transacted all the business. And sometimes if you weren't what you need to be, people would take advantage of you. You'd be old and senile and feeble, and people would take advantage of you. But it says that the children will speak for you at the gate. No, that's my mom. That's my dad. You're not going to mistreat them in that nursing home. You better not. See, that's what it means to honor, esteem. Let me finish. And then finally, we have extended family, right? And what are the two things there? I'm rushing. Number one, they should use their wisdom to bless others. You know, Titus chapter 2 says that the elders need to be instructing the youngers. So even if you've raised your children and your grandchildren are around, you need to use your wisdom to influence and bless them. And then finally, when you get to a point, if you're an extended family and you don't have any immediate family, then there should be other people in your family, whether nephews, nieces, grandchildren, whoever, that should look out for you. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4 and verse 16 says that they should be looking out. Somebody in your family somewhere should be looking out for you. The family is under attack. Father, we come to you today, and Lord, we just thank you for your word that lets us know what the family structure is. And Lord, we realize that the family is under attack. And Lord, unless we as Christians work in our little circles to preserve the family unit and the family structure, it's going to be destroyed. Hollywood is not trying to protect it. Government is not trying to protect it. Society is not trying to protect it. Lord, if the family is going to be protected, it's going to be us, people in this congregation today, people in congregations all over the nation and the world that believe in God's blueprint for the family. And for those that believe in God's blueprint of the family, Lord, let us do everything that we can to fight for and preserve that blueprint that God has laid for us.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of Trust. It's good to know God is on the other trapeze. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Family, the Family Under Attack, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request family, the family under attack. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request family, the family under attack. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.